Well, praise God, church. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I'm glad you made it. I know we all had an eventful last couple of days, hadn't we, with the rain? But, as always, it can rain in Texas. And it has. Amen? So y'all got to get a little excited here this morning for me. Y'all seem a little reserved, held back. Look at the person beside you and say, go ahead and be wild if you want to. I like wild church. You know, I just want to say a few things before we get into the message here this morning. Now, you know, some of y'all that have been here at Living Waters Church for a long time, you know that, you know, years ago we started the Waterhole Ministries, and which was basically another ministry. Because I always wanted the church protected, so if I say something crazy over the radio and get in trouble, it doesn't bring the church under judgment. And so we started the Waterhole Ministries, and the dream and the goal was is to reach the world with the message, this message going out today. And, you know, we've done radio for years. We're still on the radio in Corpus out of a KCTA station, been there for years, and 15 years we've been doing radio out of there. But when this, it always amazes me because I love a God deal. How many of y'all like a God deal? When you can honestly say that you didn't have anything to do with it, God just, he just made it happen. It was a God deal. And what's been going on here recently with when we took the messages, we began to video, and then we were doing the audio, and then we have the website, thewaterhole.net. But then it branched out, and we went into SoundCloud, trying to make it easier for people to listen. And then now that iTunes has picked this up, it's really a big deal because this is a major, major thing for reaching the world. Already they told me that some person in Virginia has already downloaded 10 messages. And so what it does is it takes this service, and it makes it worldwide, and it makes a worldwide broadcast even more touchable and reachable. And so the best venue that we have for getting people to know it, because, you know, people have to know what's going on in order to be able to partake of it. And so what I'm asking y'all to do this morning is all of your friends, people that you have on Facebook, people that you communicate with all the time, tell them about it. Tell them it's on there. Put them on there and say, hey, you know, Pastor Robert, just go in, put the water hole. You know, the thing that's amazing about it is we used to tell people, okay, you need to go download the SoundCloud app, and then you put that down on your phone, and then now it's just like, you know, everybody has an iPhone, the app is right there, you click on it. Had all my guys that work with me, I said, hey, you know, I'm on iTunes. They're like, what? No way. And I'm like, yeah, go look, you know, because it's a big deal. It really is a big deal, and so it makes it able to go out to everybody in a better venue. So, but we got to get the word out. Now, the other thing you need to do for me is whether you liked it or not, go in there and tell them that you liked it. All right? As many times as you possibly can. I mean, it can be your ministry every day to just pull up the message and go in there and say, I like it, because the more likes we get, then the more it does for us in our status of where we're at on iTunes. Now, because iTunes has picked it up, that means that every other podcast system that's out there in the world now has it. So whatever a person's using, if they're using an Android phone or something different, and they're going on to it, well, then it's available to them. So it's a big deal, all right? I'm blessed. I see it's a God deal. God's doing it. So y'all help me out. Tell everybody about it. We'll see how many people we can get looking and going to it. And make sure you tell them to like it. That's important. Tell them to like it, okay? So this morning, I'm glad y'all are here. Everybody that's out there this morning listening and watching, I'm glad you're here today. Because this morning is not only is it Memorial Day, and we honor all of those who have made this ultimate sacrifice for us to be here and live in a free America, but today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, Pentecost Sunday is a celebration that God instituted that it had to be 50 days after Passover. So if you remember, Passover, you know, Israel, when it first got instituted, was in Egypt, and they were captives, they were slaves, they had been there for 430 years as slaves, and then all of a sudden, one day, in one second, in one moment, in one flash, God said, it's enough. Everybody say it's enough. Have you ever been that way in life that you just kind of got tired of, you know, you tried to deal with your problems, you tried to deal with your situations, you tried to help this matter, you tried to do this, you tried to have patience, you tried to tolerate something, you tried to just endure, but then all of a sudden you just said, it's enough, I've had enough, can't take it anymore. You ever been there? Well, God one day said, it's enough, and he told Israel, he said, look, it's time for I'm going to deliver you. And so God, as you remember in the story, passed over Egypt. And as he passed over Egypt, all kinds of things, miraculous signs and wonders took place until the Egyptians were so tired of the Israelites that they wanted them to go. They begged them to leave. No longer were they slaves, but they said, oh, God, get out of here. We can't take you anymore. We want you gone. And God said, no, you're going to do one more thing. Go to every person's house, knock on their door, and tell them, give me all your stuff. And the Bible says that they plundered Egypt. They left with every, you know, I don't know what, but every brass pot, every silver tray, every piece of jewelry, everything that the Egyptians had, they left with it. Well, I just declare to you today that God has said it's enough, and he's ready for you to accept him and to flow into your life and to give you freedom from slavery, freedom from bondage, and not only to give you freedom and let you get out of the bondage you may have gotten yourself into, but to give you a place where you plunder the enemy. Now, how about that? I would like to just walk up to everybody's house and say, give me your stuff. Everybody say, give me your stuff. Look at the person beside you and say, give me your stuff. You see, that's what happened. So God said, this is what's going to happen. He did it. He plundered them. They left, and they left the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. One day they're a slave, and the next day they are the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth. All because of what God did. You want to tell you something. Listen to me. We live in a day and a time right now that it's not a time to be discouraged. It's not a time to fall down and say, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen? Oh, what does the future look like? Oh, what is this going to do? What is the government going to do? What is that going to do? Today is a day, I'm telling you, to be standing and rejoicing, saying that God is a God who's dropped the hammer, and today is the day that you plunder your enemies. Amen? That God wants you blessed. He wants you supernaturally blessed. Don't tell me, oh, that only happened in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, God's doing it today. He's doing it right now. He wants to come into your life, and he wants to flow into your life, and he wants to give you freedom from every bondage, every crazy thinking, every wild thought, every tormenting thought, every thought of your past, every thought that may come to you and torment you about your future. God wants to deliver you. And I'm going to tell you today how he's going to do it. Because what God did is he said, 50 days later, after I've delivered you and all, you're going to have a celebration. Now, I want you to know, God is the God who likes to have a party. You go look through the scriptures. God is a God who likes to have a party. God is a God who calls the whole nation to party for 7 days. God is a God who says, look, I want you. Every year of Jubilee that comes up, every 49th year, I'm going to bless you 3 times more than you've ever prospered just so you can party and enjoy life and relax for a whole year. How many of y'all would like to have a whole year off with everything taken care of? Huh? Would that not be awesome? That all of a sudden your income is all there and you just get to take a year off. Woo! Come on, glory to God. I think the biggest problem would be we wouldn't want to go back to work, you know, but God did that. He did that over and over and blessed Israel. And I'm telling you this morning, God wants you blessed. God wants you walking in prosperity. God wants you. And when I say prosperity, I'm not talking about just the green stuff. I'm talking about prospering in your soul. I'm talking about having joy. I'm talking about having peace. I'm talking about not having war with your family members, not having war with your neighbors, not having war with those around you, not being intimidated, not being put down, not being felt like you don't fit somewhere. I'm talking about in a flow of God that is just good. Amen? So 50 days later, Pentecost comes about. God said, I'm going to give you your early rain. And so the rain would always come upon the land in that season. But something had to take place. Every male child
17 years up, I'll say, every male had to go to the temple and they had to present themselves before the Lord. And they had to honor God that day and say, hey, God, you know, here I am, I serve you. He said, that's what's required of you today. Now, the story, you know, continues on. Israel does this forever. And then all of a sudden, one Pentecost Sunday, and we'll get to this in just a minute. I just want to paint a picture before I tear into there. That you can find over in Acts chapter 2. But one Pentecost Sunday, everybody went to church. They went to church just like they always had gone to church. They walked in the doors, expected the same thing. I mean, it was a synagogue, and you know, so just give me this, okay? But they expected everything to take place just the same. They expected the praise and worship leader to sing three praise songs and three worship songs. They expected the guy to get up and give announcements. They expected the guy to, you know, take up the offering. They expected everything to happen just like it always happened on every church Sunday. Except all of a sudden that Sunday, something happened different. They're all sitting there in church. They're all, you know, thinking about what's going on. And all of a sudden, they said that the sound like a rushing mighty wind. It didn't say it was a wind, but it was a sound like a rushing mighty wind. Came blowing through that church service. And when everybody looked at everybody sitting around there, it looked like they had fire on top of their head. Now, that's pretty freaky. That if you just looked over at your neighbor and said, hey, dude, your head's on fire. You know? If you notice, you know, like Catholic service, you know, the Catholic always wears, you know, always call them the little Pope hat. Well, what that Pope hat is it goes up and that's supposed to represent a flame of the Holy Spirit that fell on them that day. What I'm saying is we serve a God of supernatural events and signs and wonders. And I'm telling you with all of my heart that right now I believe that God is wanting us to get back into that time and that place and to have church where people got fire sitting on top of their head. And I really believe with all of my heart that it's starting today. Because this is Pentecost Sunday. God honors their eternal feast. And he honors his dates and times that he set up. I believe it rained and filled this valley right now to show us a sign and wonder that God wants to fill your hearts. There's no doubt that all of us that have lived through this drought here in Texas for the last 5 years or longer, but we've seen the land and how hard it can be. And we've seen how dry it can be. And we can see how bad everything looks. And we can see how dust is on everything and dirt's on everything. And the roads are shot and there's no grass and the animals are in bad shape. And you're trying to do this and trying to do that. And the wells are going dry and everything looks bad. And everybody just gets grumpy. Our attitudes are bad. You know, we're not excited and not looking about the future. We're all praying for rain and then wondering why it didn't come immediately after we prayed. Don't even raise your hand. But there may have been a few prayers uttered last night. I said, okay, Lord, we thank you for the rain, but let's stop. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, around here when it rains, right? And I don't think it's like this in all parts of the world, but you know, when it rains here, you got a problem. And when it rains, I mean, it gets with it, right? And all I could pray about last night, I said, Lord, man, I thank you for the rain. Thank you so much for the rain. But if we could have a few hours of reprieve before the next one comes, because it's going to get ugly, Lord. Now we're starting to get things tore up around here. It's just getting kind of ugly. And so, I mean, you know, we all enjoy having to go fix a water gap, right? But you don't want to have to fix miles of fence because it all got ripped up. So anyway, there's a change. I'm telling you, God wants to do the same thing in your hearts. God wants to come into your hearts wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and he wants to touch you just like the rain that fell here because now everything is beautiful. It's green. The rivers are running. We look like a paradise around here. It's glorious, and the ground is so wet. Look at this. The ground is so wet, if you notice, you go up to ledges and places like that, water is seeping out from under it because the water is so saturated everything, right? I got a little river running in the back of my house where it shouldn't be a river running. But I got one, just nothing but the ground so saturated, right? That is a good thing. Hello? That is a good thing. I want to live my life so saturated with the presence of God, so saturated with God's Spirit upon my life, that no matter if I'm not supposed to have a river running there, I got one. Are y'all with me? that I'm so saturated and flowing, it's coming out my toes, it's coming out my fingers, it's coming out my mouth, it's coming out my ears. Everywhere I got a hole in places that I don't even know I have holes, I got Spirit of God flowing out of me. Are y'all with me? That's what God's trying to say to us, but he needs something from us. He needs us to have a heart that is hungry for him. He needs us to have a heart that puts him first. He needs us to come to the place in an understanding of the power of his Spirit and his Holy Spirit that he wants poured out over all of your vessels. Now, when I look at you this morning, I see all your faces, and I see we're all different people in here this morning, okay? We're all country, but we're all a little different, right? But what God sees this morning is he sees who you are, and he loves you, but he sees you as a vessel. He sees you as vases and glasses and vases. Some of y'all are vases. You're a vase. Some of you just a vase. Some of you just a beer mug. Some of y'all are big flower holders, and some of you just like one flower, little beautiful little thing. But God, we're all vases. We're all vessels. Are y'all with me? Now, I want you to go in your Bibles to Ezekiel 36, and I want to show you something. Yeah. Ezekiel 36:23. You got to understand something. This plan that God having to fill you full of the Holy Spirit was never something that was just, oh, okay, well, let's do that. It wasn't just a side plan. This was God's desire forever. It says in Ezekiel 36:23, he says, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Hallowed in you. When I'm holy in you. When I'm sanctified in you. When I'm consecrated in you. God looks at you as a vessel. A vessel of his Spirit. You hear me? A vessel of the Spirit of God. You got to understand. You got to change your thinking about who you are. You are, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God wants to live and dwell on the inside of you. You are a vessel. You were created by Almighty God. When you came out of your mother's womb, you were created to be a vessel of the Spirit of God. That's who you were created to be. You're a vessel. God wants his vessels full. Now, just think about this. You can take a beautiful vase, and you can set it up there, and you can put nothing in it. And it has the capacity to hold something. It has the capacity to hold flowers, to hold water, to hold champagne, to hold whatever you want to stick in it. Y'all with me? But unless something is put in it, it's just a vessel. It's not a vessel full of something. And we got a lot of Christians walking around the world today. We got a lot of Christians out there arguing about the theology behind being filled with the Holy Spirit. We got a lot of people arguing about, well, this and that and the other. But I want to tell you something. A vessel that's sitting there empty isn't doing anybody any good. Hear me. It may be pretty to look at, but it isn't doing anybody any good. It's just sitting there. It's not holding anything. It's not transporting anything. I mean, a 55-gallon barrel is a vessel. Hello? It's just sitting there and it's empty and it's just taking up space. And what God's trying to say in this day and time is he wants his people full to overflowing so that it splashes off on somebody else and gets them excited about the things of God. That it splashes off on somebody else and sets them free. That somebody that's tormented in life, all of a sudden you splash off on them. Because you're a vessel full of the Spirit of God, and God splashes off over on them, and they're not in fear and torment anymore. They're free. Everybody say they're free. Everybody say, I want to be free. Everybody say, I want to be a full vessel. And he wants you to be a vessel of his Spirit, because in that, God is sanctified. God is hallowed in you. Whew. Now let's look down at a few more verses here. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you. Not on you, but within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Listen to me. It didn't make sense in the day that Ezekiel was prophesying this, because in that day under the Old Testament, man could not be a vessel of the Spirit because man had a problem with sin. So God could only come upon the prophets, priests, and the kings just at a moment, and then he left because his Spirit couldn't indwell man because man had a problem. They couldn't keep the commandments of God. Hello? Couldn't keep it. So if they couldn't keep it, they couldn't walk in it, God could just come on a person. But that wasn't what he wanted. He yearned to indwell man, to be hallowed inside of man. Now, folks, you got to look at something. You got to think about this. And I'm not trying to speak ugly about anybody or hurt your feelings. But, you know, when someone knows that you're an idiot, and then all of a sudden you make godly choices and do what's right because you're a Christian, because you're reading your Bible, because you know what God's saying to your heart, and somebody standing out there looks back and said, how did they do that? I know them. They're not smart enough for that. They always make the wrong decisions. How could that be? All of a sudden, you know who gets the glory? God. Because you're like, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm just sitting here trusting God to just deliver me, and he did, and I don't know how to explain it. God gets the glory. Everybody says, wow. I want to tell you something. That's what it means to be hallowed in you. And I'm excited about that. I look in the Bible, and when one of my favorite stories, you know, is when Balaam the prophet was going down to do what was wrong. He was going to prophesy against Israel. And, you know, remember the donkey talked to him? I'm just glad I can be a talking donkey. Are y'all with me? I'm just glad if God used a talking donkey to try to tell Balaam that he was doing wrong and could see, I'm just glad he can use me. He can use me as a talking donkey just to tell the world, yeah, I am. I am redneck. I'm stupid. I got a bad past, but I want to tell you something. Glory to God. I love Jesus. Are y'all with me? I love it when they say, well, what do you do, Robert? And I say, well, I pastor a church in Utopia. And they say, excuse me? Because they look at me and by assumption, they say, how could that guy be a preacher? He doesn't fit the preacher profile. And I'm glad I don't. I'm glad I can just be a braying donkey in life and still be declaring the things that God's saying. Amen? And letting God be hallowed in me, because everybody has to look back and say, man, that's got to be God. I mean, come on, folks, listen. I mean, just think about it. You can go and you can download, I don't know, you know, whatever. I'm in the old days, okay? So you can go download the Beatles. You can go download the Rolling Stones. You can go download the Eagles. And you can go download the Waterhole. All at the same location? That's a sign and a wonder. That is a miracle. Are y'all with me? Okay. So God wants to be hallowed in you. He wants your vessel full. Everybody say, I'm a vessel. Now, if you notice something, I want you to go now to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Old Testament there again still. Joel, chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, and if you should take time and just read the whole thing, but starting in verse 12, really 12 through 26, God's calling Israel through the prophet Joel that they need to repent. It says in 2:12, it says, now therefore says the Lord, turn with me, turn to me with all your heart, with fastings, with weepings, with mournings, to rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. The prophet Joel was prophesying and saying that Israel needed to come to a time that they needed to repent. They needed to look into their hearts and say, God, I really want to serve you, and I really haven't been serving you to the best of my ability. Okay? But then all of a sudden, Joel, he changes in verse 28. And he begins to prophesy about a time that's going to come. And so Joel 2:28 says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and a pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant of the Lord that's called. Now, when Acts chapter 2 happens, and the Holy Spirit falls in that church service, everybody, you know, I always think it's funny, because they're having a church service. And so the first thing that a group of people do is they say, oh, these guys are just drunk. Well, I just want to know how they know they were drunks. They were good church-going people. Shouldn't have been around drunks. But anyway, they all said they were drunk. Now, I think, If you observe something and you assumed that everybody was drunk, I'm thinking that they probably weren't the violent kind of drunk. They were probably laughing and staggering and hugging around on each other and that kind of a happy drunk. That'd just be my assumption. All right? But you gotta understand something. Church that day got disrupted from its normal religious routine when the Spirit of God fell. Okay? It got disrupted from its normal routine, and they said, something's happening. And so Peter jumps up, sees what's going on, and he immediately, in the 33rd verse, Acts 2:33, he says, this is what Joel prophesied. Now, I'm the kind of person that I just like to let the Bible be the Bible. And I let the Bible, for the Bible to interpret itself. And if Peter was saying that was what was happening out of the prophecy of Joel, then I tend to be in agreement with him. And say Peter knows more what he's talking about than anybody else did then. And so what he was saying was, oh, man, I get it. I can see what's going on. This is what was prophesied in Joel. Now, how did he know what was prophesied in Joel? He must have heard a good message on it sometime. Israel all saying, someday this is going to happen. God's going to pour his spirit out on all of us. He's going to give us a new heart. He's going to live within us. And then all of a sudden, Joel said, the day has come. This is it. What was prophesied about Joel? Now think about this. Remember I told each and every one of you that you were created as a vessel. But that vessel had never had the ability to be filled with God, because it had never been able to be consecrated or sanctified in order to hold the Spirit of God. Now, it's really interesting, and I can tell y'all I've talked to the Lord about this, and I don't have any overwhelming answer, all right? But it always amazed me that God could give an ordinance out to Israel and say, okay, look, just take this calf, this, you know, bull or this heifer or this, you know, whatever the sacrifice might be, slaughter it, get its blood, and then when you put that blood on that vessel now becomes clean. Because what it says to me is, if I got blood on a pan that I'm cooking, I'd say it was dirty. Are y'all with me? If you said, Pastor, I need you to come over to my house and cleanse it, and just pray over it and cleanse it. And I said, okay. And I just went in there with a 5-gallon bucket of blood and a big old
sage bush and it started slinging blood all over the house, y'all'd say, "You crazy fool, man, that's, you can't do that. You're getting blood everywhere." If I was going to have a sanctifying service here this morning and I got blood and put it on an old sage bush and slung it out all over all of y'all and it hit you, y'all'd be saying, "You just ruined my good shirt." Am I right? But that's what Israel was doing. That's what Moses, that's what Aaron, that's what the priest all had been doing all along. When they went through the service and they put that blood on that vessel, whatever it was, utensils, you know, whatever it was, it became sanctified, consecrated, and holy. And only if someone then touched it, did it become unholy. Y'all with me? You got to understand, God's thing is a little bit different. One of the things I know about blood is the Bible says that the life is in the blood. God sees blood as life, okay? So you kind of got to have this understanding. When that blood touched them, or touched that vessel, then it became holy. When the blood of Jesus touches your life, because you have asked him to come into your life, you have asked him to forgive you of your sins, you've asked him to wash you in his blood, your vessel becomes holy. Just like it got touched with the blood, that vessel, your vessel became holy. Now that your vessel's holy, it can be filled with the Spirit of God. Joel jumped back and said, Peter jumped back and said, this is what Joel was talking about. This is the Holy Spirit falling down on us. Because something changed that day. On the day of Pentecost, something changed in the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, everybody that was a believer in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior was worthy to house the Spirit of God. Whew. It happened in a second. It happened in a moment. It happened in a flash. It says, suddenly, I believe God is set up right now for another suddenly. I believe right now that God is set up in our lives to do great and mighty things. But we got to understand who we are. That we are vessels of the Spirit of God. Now, go to the Gospel of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you." Jesus himself said that I am going to go, I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected, and the first thing I want to do when I get to heaven is I'm going to tell the Father the vessels are ready to be filled. If you want to look behind the scenes, I don't know how it all happened. I can't tell you exactly how it all transpired in heaven, but I can tell you this. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. The mercy seat was laying there. His blood was poured out on top of it, and Jesus then said, "Okay, Daddy, they're ready. Send the Holy Spirit." And the day of Pentecost happened. That's what happened behind the scenes. On the other end, everybody's just sitting in church thinking they're going to go through a regular church. And says, "Hey, dude, your head's on fire." That was the manifestation on earth. What happened in heaven was, a Father, send the Holy Spirit. On earth, fire on your head. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a little sidetrack just for a second here. Y'all just hang on. Depending on what kind of a background you came from, of a church, if you came from a Pentecostal church
or if you came from Baptist, Methodist, whatever, you know, it wasn't, God bless everybody. All right? But if you came from a Pentecostal church, you know, the big differentiating point between us was speaking in tongues. Now, let me just say something about that for a second, because I just want to take a little sidetrack here. Then I want to get back on there, maybe, if I can find where I was. I'm not preaching here this morning, listen to me, that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can speak in tongues. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm preaching here this morning, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God because you are vessels that are supposed to be housing the Spirit of God. And speaking in tongues is just one little bitty part of the power of the Spirit of God that God wants to use in your life. It's just like saying salvation. Okay, getting saved. Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're saved and going to heaven. But do you understand about repentance? Do you understand about the authority of the name of Jesus? Do you understand about what faith moves mountains? Do you understand about freedom? Do you understand about freedom prayer? Do you understand about walking in victory? You see, there's a lot of other things that come in with salvation. You can't take the Holy Spirit and just say, oh, it's just so we can speak in tongues. Glory to God. I speak in tongues more than any of you, but I want to tell you something of this. That ain't what is all the Holy Spirit's about. I'm talking about being a vessel that's so filled with God at all times that God is doing things through you and you don't even know what's going on. Wouldn't it just be great for us to just get out of the way and let God be God? Instead of trying to say, oh, this is the way God's got to work and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Man, I just love crazy wild things that God does just because you showed up, because you carried in a vessel Him into whatever you're doing. I one time, in a situation that was a kind of an awkward situation, we were eating with a whole bunch of people that I know don't go to church, and all of a sudden one of them just turned to me and said, well, why don't you say grace? And I was like, really? I mean, you want me to bring Jesus into the middle of this? And so I was like, okay. And so I just stepped up and I prayed a prayer. Now, I didn't pray a crazy prayer. I didn't say, Father, I say these sinners right now. God, I'm God. No, I didn't pray something crazy like that. I didn't go all, you know, goofy Pentecostal on, man. I just prayed a prayer. I just asked God to bless the food, just bless everybody that was there, bless what was taking place. All of a sudden, I look up and I got these burly, strong, tough men, and they're like, fighting back tears and come over there and say to me, I really appreciate that. That's really amazing. I'm like, God, you touched their hearts, sang a blessing over a meal? All I'm saying to you guys is you don't understand. God wants to use you right in the middle of wherever you are, whatever you're doing. He wants you to be the vessel that carries Him in to that place, to into that location, and lets God be God. But see, if you say, oh, well, I don't know. You put a lid on your vessel. So I just want to be filled because of me, because I just need you to feel your presence, and I just need you here. I just need you to hold me and make me feel good. You're missing what God's doing. He wants you full, sloppy, sloshing. Like I could never be a waiter. I can't walk through my house carrying a coffee cup. I don't know if I just, like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'll slosh coffee everywhere. I can't do it. It's like I just have to just walk real slow. I don't know why. I cannot just walk over there. I just spill stuff everywhere. But God wants you to be a vessel like that. He wants you to be so sloppy full of Him that you're just sloshing out everywhere. It's about keeping the vessel full to overflowing. Jesus said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go there. I'm paid the price for your vessels to be clean. I paid the price through faith in me for your vessels to be clean. You got to understand something, church. All of y'all out there listening, you got to understand something. The moment you ask Jesus to come into your life and you say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, There is a transformation that takes place and happens in your life. You may not even understand it nor know it, but I'm telling you what, the moment the blood of Jesus touches your life, the moment your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have been a new vessel, sanctified, clean. You no more got trash inside of your vessel. You no more are dirty anymore. You're clean, you're polished, you're shined. You are now ready for God to fill up and to live and dwell in you. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about. Your vessel is now clean and you say, God, I want to be filled. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Last scripture here. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. He said, I'm not going to make it complicated. I'm not going to make it hard on you. I just need you to do one thing. Luke 11, 9 says, so I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, that took a lot of intelligence there. Ask, man, I'll give it to you. Seek, and you'll find. Hey, guys, how many of y'all know that your wife can always say to you, hey, it's right in there in the freezer on the second shelf. And what is it about us that we're blind? We never see anything. We can't find anything. It's a natural man function. Ladies, just get over it. Quit getting mad at us. Ain't no one of us can see nothing. I don't know what it is. I mean, I can ask my wife for almost anything. And she said, well, it's in there in such and such place. And I said, I'll go in there and look. Man, I don't see nothing. Never do see nothing. But he said, this is different. Men, if you seek it, he says you will find it. Woo! Glory to God! It's not going to be one of those things like, okay, now, Lord, I'm seeking, but I don't see nothing. No, he said, you're going to find it. I love it. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and it'll be open for you. I'm glad there's no closed doors in heaven. I'm glad God doesn't have any closed doors to you and say, well, listen, you're just not quite good enough for that. You're just not quite worthy of that. You're just not. No, I'm glad there's no closed doors. I'm glad that nobody can say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't come in here. You're not dressed appropriately. I'm just glad the doors are open, is all I can say. There's not a door in heaven you're going to knock on that he won't open for you. Think about that. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and all around, he doesn't have closed doors in heaven. You knock on them, it's going to get opened. Whew. You'll never be turned down. That's why Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never be ashamed. I'm going to go before my Father and tell him how great you are. You think about that. You think of Jesus going to the throne, talking to the Father, saying, Lord, look at old so-and-so. Never have to be ashamed. He says, so you knock, it's going to be open. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks bread from any father of you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If then you, being evil. Now, he's using this reference. He's not talking about that we are evil. He's saying, now just listen to this. In the best gift that you could give someone, thinking on your earthly level, you could give someone, that seems evil to God because it's not good enough. Are you with me? He's saying, your level of thinking of gift giving is almost evil in my eyes. You think so low. I can think pretty big. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more
will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God Almighty considered the greatest gift that he could give you was the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. If that was the greatest gift he could give you, was the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Folks, listen to me. God doesn't baptize with the Holy Spirit and it's just like a sub-Holy Spirit. A second, a third, or a fourth. You know, like you're buying flooring and you can either buy, you know, grade one, two, three, or four. Right? He's not talking about sub-level spirit you got. He's talking about world-creating. Genesis 1, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And it was, and he made it. You got to understand something. You have to change your mentality and understand something. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God in three persons. We serve one God who we can see him as the Father. We serve the same God who we see as the Son. We serve the same God that we see as the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I do not want you to be like orphans, but I want you to be comforted. I want you to have a mother and a father. I want you to have a roof over your head. I want you to have everything that a father or a mother would be taking care of a child. I want you to be as someone who has great parents giving great gifts to their children. That's what the Holy Spirit is on this earth. You got to get your understanding to say, if you're a vessel full of the Holy Spirit, well, then that same Holy Spirit is the same God that is God that sits in heaven in you. So he wants to come and live in you so that you don't have to feel lonely. You don't have to feel sad. You don't have to feel any of the things that go on in the world because the great God is living in you. Listen to me. Every decision you've ever made, God already has an answer for you on the inside of you in his Spirit if you just could tap into it. Every temptation you've ever been tempted with, God has an answer on the inside of inside of you that's him for you. I've got one more scripture. I'm closing. Book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 17. I used to read this and quote this and speak this and declare this and whatever, and I never really understood it. But I want to read it to you. Romans 14, 17. And the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. It's not a natural thing. But in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What he's saying, what Paul's saying there to the Romans is simply this, is what I've just preached to you this morning. Folks, there's nothing greater than knowing that you're righteous before your God. Doesn't mean you do everything right. Doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you don't mess up. What it means is that you have a righteous standing before your God, that the blood of Jesus has washed you and cleansed you of your sins, and you can stand as a vessel. Listen to me. Death is no threat to a Christian. I mean, send me to heaven. Because if you know in your that you're righteous before God because you know you're saved. You know you've made your peace with God. You've asked Jesus to come into your life. That's a great place to be. What that place does for you is it brings you peace and it brings you joy. Why does it bring you peace and joy? Because now you're a vessel that's cleansed and can house the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. And now God Almighty lives and dwells in you. And if He lives and dwells in you, then really all your problems are solved. Huh? All your problems are solved. You may not know what they are. You may have to implement them, but your problems are all solved. God's with you. Huh? Come on. Your problems are solved. God's with you. God has the answer for your prosperity. God has the answer for everything that you've got there. He's got the answer. It's in you. You may be so goofy, you're thinking in your head, trying to figure it all out and doing all this, and you're getting in the way and not listening to God, but your answer's in you. How could it not be? God's in you. So then what else is there? But to walk in peace and joy. To walk in peace and joy. Most of the time in life, we're frustrated because we're not seeing things happen as fast as we want them to or like we want them. And we get frustrated. And we want things to change. But I want to tell you something. The answer's on the inside of you. The answer's inside inside the Spirit of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to tell you what needs to be, because He doesn't want you to be frustrated little orphan. All right? And so He made this so difficult that all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is say, Father, I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Fill my vessel, because I know I'm righteous through the blood of Jesus. So fill my vessel. That's all you have to do. You say, well, I don't know, what if something crazy happens? I hope something crazy does happen. Are y'all with me? Who needs the same old lame old life? I want a life full of God. I want a life full of blessings. I want a life full of God deals going on. Are y'all with me? So stand to your feet if you would. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter was preaching, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit just fell on everybody that was there. And what I want to do right now is, it's real simple, folks. First of all, if you don't know that you're right with God, I want to help you get right with God. It's real simple. It's the same thing. All you got to do is ask. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, then He will. And He will wash you and cleanse you and make you right with God. That's called righteousness, rightness with God. Amen? So this is what I want to do. I don't need to see any hands, because I'm just believing God of God's miracle. All of you out there watching, listening, everybody in here today, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you don't think you're right with God, then right now, open up your heart. Just open up your heart and pray this prayer with me. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just stand here before You. You see everyone's heart. You see everyone in here, where they are with You. And, Lord, right now, for anyone who doesn't feel like they're righteous, doesn't feel like they've made the right decision to have You to come in their life, right now we stop and we ask You, Jesus, come into our lives. Everybody say this and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in Your blood. I want to be right with You. Amen. The church, right there, every vessel that you prayed that out of your heart from sincerity now is sparkling clean. I mean, like, got shined up with brasso, you know what I mean? Looking good. Look at the person beside you and say, man, you're looking good. Look at the person on the other side of you and say, man, you're looking good. Your vessel's clean. You say, well, that's too simple. Didn't He say ask? Why do we make it complicated?
Okay, so now you fulfill the first part, righteousness. Now, I like peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all like peace and joy? I mean, if you like war and torment, I mean, really, you need to get some deliverance. You need to call Lex and get set up for freedom prayer and get free, man, because war is no good. Amen? I like peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So now we're going to do the second thing. How many of y'all this morning, I want to see a show of hands, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God? You want everything God's got? Is that not all of us? Why not? Amen? So now we're going to pray the second prayer. Now we just want our vessels full. Man, you're shiny and clean, but you need to be filled. All right? Now, the Bible does say we need to be being filled. You say, well, back in 36, I had hands laid on me. Now I receive the Holy Spirit. I'm sure every ounce of that has drained out since then, and you need to be refilled. Hello? Because the Bible says we need to be being filled. That means you're going to need to be asked the Holy Spirit every day to refill you and to refill you and to refill you. And we're supposed to live in a life of saying, God, I want everything you got. Are y'all with me? So now let's pray this prayer. Everybody say to me, Father, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. I understand today that my vessel is clean and I want it full of the Holy Spirit. So I ask today, fill me full of the Holy Spirit. Full to overflowing. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you made a way. And today, I'm full as I'll ever get of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me for just a second. Now just kind of go like this. I see you sloshed a little out right there. You got a little spillover going out over there. It slopped off on the other person. They may not have felt it, but it's there, man, by the Spirit. You're just slinging around, you know, getting kind of crazy and just throwing spirit everywhere, okay? Now, listen to me. I know that I make this humorous because this is the way I see things, but listen to me. Folks, every day you need to get up and pray and ask God to fill you full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, speaking in tongues is a part of that, and I'll get into that message later. But right now, today, I'm talking about you need your vessel full. You need to be sloshing around of the Holy Spirit, amen? You need to keep it up every day. Ask, seeking, and finding. Amen? So I want to, before we close this service, I want to ask my prayer team to come down. Because you may have some issues or something that you want to pray about. But I'm telling you, God is awesome. Amen? Now before I close this, let me tell you two other things. One is, don't forget, we got the Ranch Rodeo tonight. Ought to be a real wild event, slopping in the mud. Last year it was raining straight down. This year it's just going to be a pig pen. But the other thing is this coming Thursday night will be the men's meeting. So we'll have it over in the fellowship hall at 6:30. Just bring a dessert. Isn't this right, George? You're cooking? Okay. So Thursday night, 6:30, the fellowship. Don't forget about that, men. We're going to be there with an exciting word. And so grab that person's hand beside you. Everybody look at the person beside you and just say, man, I feel full. Woo. So, Father, as we leave this place today on this great Pentecost Sunday, I thank you, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you fill us. Lord, that we are vessels this morning full to overflowing. Lord, that we're going to slosh out on the world. We're going to slosh out on everybody around us. And God, you are just so amazing, such a great and awesome God. We thank you today, Lord, that we are righteous before you. We're going to walk in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.